Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is Liz Moore, and her new novel, Long Bright River, tells the story of two estranged sisters who both work in the Kensington neighborhood of Philadelphia. One is a police officer, Mickey Fitzpatrick. The other is Casey, a heroin addict who turns tricks and lives on the streets. When the bodies of murdered sex workers start turning up, Mickey is in a race against time to solve the crimes and prevent Casey from being the next victim. Liz, you set this story where you've lived for more than a decade. How long after arriving there in Philadelphia did it take for you to understand how the opioid epidemic had affected that city?
It was pretty short order. I moved to Philadelphia in 2009. My husband is from this area. And one of the first things that happened is I was invited up to the neighborhood of Kensington, which is about a mile and a half north of where I live, by a photographer who was already doing work in that neighborhood as part of a photojournalism project. So in the same year that I moved to Philadelphia, I went to Kensington for the first time. And at that time, the media was not covering the opioid crisis the way that they are today. So what I saw there was very surprising and also very moving, and I felt compelled to return and ended up doing a lot of community work in the neighborhood, and all of that combined along with my own family's history of addiction sort of produced the inspiration for the book.
This book is just so, it's almost like two novels. It goes between now and then, the past and present of the sisters growing up and then dealing with their lives now. But your books are not marketed as thrillers up until now, even though they were very suspenseful. This one is. What made this one different?
Well, for one thing, there is a police officer character in it for the first time, which when I first began writing the book, Mickey was not actually a police officer, but I needed a bit more narrative tension, I guess, in the book. Not much was driving the sisters apart at the start of the story, and I figured making one of them a police officer would put them in direct opposition to one another in a lot of ways, which is helpful from a narrative standpoint. And so the minute I did that, I started thinking about the fact that now it had some, it was using some of the conventions of a traditional police procedural or thriller, and I kind of didn't fight it after that. I just went for it.
Well, Mickey has certain character traits that almost make her unlikable. She's not very sociable. She doesn't have a personality of somebody that likes to talk, and that's apparent from the very beginning when she has a new trainee riding with her in the police department. So when you have a character with those traits, how do you make them somebody that we can root for?
I think everybody is flawed in certain ways, and although in some ways Mickey is playing the role in the novel of the heroine, you know, she's looking, she's the seeker, she's looking for her sister. She's always self-identified as, like, the good one in the family, for better or worse. Of course, that understanding of her gets complicated as the book goes on. I've always tried to treat all my characters as human beings and understand that they'll have shortcomings in addition to some of their better qualities. And I think Mickey is thinking on people with opioid addiction mirrors a lot of the somewhat problematic thinking that many of us have when it comes to people suffering from addiction. You know, she doesn't understand it. She feels very self-righteous about it, especially at the start of the novel, and her thought process evolves as the book goes on.
There's a line, and it almost reminded me of the famous line from Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, the Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents. It was the first flashback scene, and you started it, the first time I found my sister dead, she was 16. Such a powerful line. I'd love to know how something like that comes to you, because that's a line that I'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, it probably won't surprise you that in one of the drafts of the book, that was actually the first line of the novel, and that's in a lot of ways represents to me the heart of the book, just the deep trauma that both sisters have experienced. Mickey has experienced the trauma of being in constant terror that her loved one will overdose and die from the time she was a kid. Because one of the things that I think drives the book is the idea that the sisters were actually incredibly close as children, and due to a very rough childhood, they only really had each other, and so they're very bonded by that, even though as adults they've grown estranged at the start of the book. I've heard in working in Kensington the idea I've heard people talk about the sense that they have died themselves and been resuscitated, or have witnessed a lot of people who look close to death or look dead, in fact, who've been saved. And so that's a powerful image, and I ended up using it pretty early on.
There's so many painful things in the book, and not just the drug addiction, just dealing with the societal issues. And I'm thinking of a scene where Mickey is holding her son's birthday party at a McDonald's, and mm-hmm. Mickey is not a well-to-do person. She's poor. She's paycheck to paycheck. She's got her son, though, at this private preschool, and really the McDonald's is all she can afford to have for the birthday party. But there's a mother there, a well-to-do mother, who isn't very comfortable. It was uncomfortable for me to read, but in a good way, because it made me think about things. Is that uncomfortable to write?
Yeah, I mean, I love writing scenes where characters are not at ease. I think that's what drives really good fiction. If you read a book where all the characters are just kind of like content and happy all the time, there's not much to keep you turning pages. So the type of conflict that arises out of awkward social situations is one that I kind of specialize in, I guess. And that scene, yeah, it was difficult to write in the sense that I feel protective of all the characters, especially the child character, Thomas. Mickey is a single mother in the book, and she has this son she loves and wants the best for, and sometimes misguidedly puts him into situations that she hopes will go well, but end up revealing big differences in income between herself and the other parents of his friends. And that's true. I mean, it was important to me to represent Philadelphia in that light, too, because although this is a book that's set in a neighborhood that has a pretty high crime rate, Philadelphia itself is not like that as a whole. I mean, like any major city, it has pockets of incredible wealth. It's rapidly being gentrified, for better or worse. And it also has this tradition of old money, like the Philadelphia story with Katharine Hepburn, that I think, especially outside the U.S., Philadelphia is often associated with, like, real wealth and historic wealth. So I think in that scene and throughout the book, I was trying to make sure to represent all the different Philadelphias there are.
The rollout of this book has been nothing short of incredible. The reviews have been great. New York Times bestseller list, the movie options, or the movie option, I guess. What does that do to your psyche as a writer now, knowing that everything you write from now on is going to be compared to Long Bright River?
I would be lying if I didn't say it affects me creatively a little bit. I'm working on my next novel, and of course, it's a difficult decision between writing another book that can be marketed specifically as a thriller, the way that this was, and writing another book that has a lot of elements of suspense in it, the way that all of my other books have had, but that might not be so easily marketable as a thriller. And I actually haven't made that decision yet. I'm sort of like hanging in the balance there. So, yeah, it is something I think about.
And I know you're set to write the screenplay. Is that something that's out of your wheelhouse, screenwriting?
Well, I have studied screenwriting, and I have written other... I adapted another of my books called Heft into a screenplay. So I had a bit of experience, but not as much experience as I do writing fiction. It's interesting. I actually really am enjoying this turn to film writing more than I thought I might. It's kind of like a math problem in a way, I find.
All right. Well, I'm partial to the books, so if it never becomes a movie, that's fine with me, but I know it's going to, and so that's great for you. The book is Long Bright River. It's the new novel by Liz Moore. This book is nothing short of fantastic. You're going to be reading and hearing about it all year long as people buy it and talk about it. Liz, just a fantastic offering here. Can't wait to see how this all turns out for you.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.